All right. Concerning the upcoming meeting between President Trump and President Putin, which is rumored to be taking place in Alaska, which, of course, is former Russian territory that the U.S. acquired from Russia some time ago for pennies on the dollar, obviously because Russia wasn't aware at that time of all the oil and minerals that Alaska possessed. But anyway, that's a different story. So this meeting is rumored to take place soon, here in August. And there's already, I mean, so many problems with this and limitations that I want to point out. Now, the pro-Trump press is touting it as this is the peace agreement between the U.S. and Russia. And this is going to win Trump the Nobel Peace Prize because finally this is peace. And these are terms of peace that Russia can accept, which is for Ukraine to give up the entire Donbass region that it has already essentially lost to Russia anyway, and that Putin will accept this as the primary terms of peace, and then it's done. Okay, this is what we're told. There should be an immediate and obvious problem with such a claim. Is that where's Zelensky in any of this? Because Zelensky has now publicly claimed that he doesn't agree with any of that. He's not even going to be present at the meeting. And Zelensky is not even an elected official of Ukraine because his term already expired like a year ago or something. And thus, Zelensky not only has no legal authorization to even sign in any agreement with anybody, but he's said that he can't agree to giving up any of the Ukrainian territory to Russia. And at the same time, the European leaders, of course, they want war. They need war. The German leadership, the UK leadership, French leadership, they all need war as a cover story for their own domestic political failures and economic failures, industrial failures, etc., currency failures. So they need war desperately. And remember, it was Boris Johnson that talked Zelensky out of a peace agreement back in 2022, which is what led to this whole situation that we've been dealing with ever since that has probably taken the lives of at least a million Ukrainians and has decimated the Ukrainian, the demographics, the industry, government, lands, cities, factories, you know, output, all of it, because of Boris Johnson, because of the UK. So here's how this is actually shaping up. That Trump and Putin, they might reach an agreement on peace, and they might think this is very reasonable. You know, Trump might say, well, Ukraine just going to have to swap some land. Well, when he says swap, he means you're going to have to give it up. You know, Trump uses the term land swap. It's not a swap. Nothing is being swapped. Swap would be like, I give you this and you give me that. This is not a land swap. This is Russia gets the land. Okay, so it's really a land grab, not a land swap. But Trump doesn't, you know, describe it as a land grab. He says land swap. That's insane. No. Zelensky is never going to agree to this. Never going to agree to it. And Europe is never going to agree to it. So even if Trump and Putin come out of that meeting and they shake hands and they declare they have an understanding, do you know that that has no legal standing whatsoever in the country of Ukraine? Because neither Trump nor Putin are the president of Ukraine. So it doesn't matter what Trump and Putin agree to in terms of what Ukraine is going to do. And Zelensky's already said he can't agree to giving up any land at all, period. So he's going to continue to fight. And it's very clear that his European allies, such as the UK, etc., well, they're going to continue to fight with Ukraine. I mean, they're going to provide support for the fighting. And they are very clear about that as well. So think about this. The way this is shaping up is the U.S. and Russia on one side of this versus Ukraine and the U.K. and other European countries on the other side. Like, far from a universal peace deal, right? And even if the U.S. says, well, we'll pull our support from Ukraine. So, Trump is mostly there anyway by saying that we're not going to give any more weapons to Ukraine. We're going to make the Europeans buy the weapons from us, and then they give them to Ukraine. Well, that's no different, really, from just telling the European leaders, it's up to you now. You're going to have to provide the weapons and the funding and the intelligence and everything, the military assistance, that we're out of here. I mean, that's where we are right now. So my prediction is that Trump will declare some amazing peace deal, and it will just be fiction. It'll just be in Trump's mind, but it won't have any traction in the mind of Zelensky or in the European leaders, and they will continue the war on their terms because they're not interested in peace. Even Zelensky's not interested in peace because, well, he would be out of power, you know, if elections were held and if he couldn't just maintain his military dictatorship and control of the press and, you know, total control over the economy, etc., then he loses power. So Zelensky and Europe, they have incentives to keep the war going, even if Trump and Putin have incentives to stop it. And then that brings up the question, well, how can Trump and Putin force Zelensky to stop the war? And the answer, of course, is obvious. It's for Russia to keep fighting the war until they completely defeat, you know, basically Kiev and Zelensky. And that's the definition of war, is you're going to force this other party to stop doing what they're doing. You're going to force them through kinetic action and by destroying their ability to continue to wage war. And if that's the agreement, it's not a peace agreement, it's a war agreement. It's an agreement to just continue the war until Ukraine is completely defeated and unable to fight any further, and the military lays down their arms. And that's no different from where we are right now. So I don't see anything coming out of this agreement that is going to matter. It's just going to be a bunch of talk. And the other thing is that Putin has several conditions for peace, right? I mean, as we said, everybody wants peace just on their own terms. Well, Putin's terms are very clear. He says, we need to take back this territory so we have this buffer zone. And then Ukraine, we need assurances that Ukraine will never join NATO ever. And also, Russia talks about denazification and demilitarization of Ukraine. Basically, Russia is demanding that Ukraine's military surrender and that Ukraine agree to never join NATO and Ukraine give up the territory, etc. Are those terms going to be acceptable to Ukraine's military leadership? Not yet. Not until they are defeated more. Are they going to be acceptable to Zelensky? No, he's already said so. Thus, no matter what gets announced, Russia is going to have to keep fighting in order to achieve its own goals here. And it's going to. Russia's not going to back down because Trump promises something. You know why? Because Russia already learned that you can't trust America's promises. No matter what America promises, it's never real. It's never legitimate. It's always just a tactic to catch you off guard so they can bomb you. Just like the U.S. bombed Iran after pretending to be engaged in negotiations. And then also in those bombings, Israel took part and killed the negotiators. Russia watched that. Russia knows how the U.S. negotiates. Russia knows that promises from the United States don't mean anything. And certainly promises from Trump don't mean anything because he changes his mind every day. And the entire international community knows that. Whereas Trump is all over the map, changing his mind day after day. Putin has been consistent year after year, consistent. He's never wavered from the goals of the special military operation. And so if you think that Russia is going to stop this war and give Ukraine a chance to rearm just because Trump asks Putin to do that, I think you're dreaming. Putin's not going to give Trump any measure of automatic trust because he knows. He knows how Trump operates, and so do we. And remember, too, that in some sense, Trump needs World War III in order to justify the financial reset that he needs. And there are other reasons for needing World War III, such as funneling a bunch of money to the defense contractors, for example. And, you know, using the Pentagon as a giant money laundering operation. Or even using Ukraine for additional money laundering, which is what the Democrats did for many years. But of course, both parties tap into that money laundering infrastructure and they use it for, you know, all kinds of kickbacks and whatever. And I'm not saying that Trump himself needs the money, but there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who, you know, there might be senators, for example, like Lindsey Graham, who absolutely want to tap into those kickbacks and want to keep that going. So, you know, Lindsey Graham doesn't want peace. And there's a lot of people in the Trump administration that do not want peace. So keep that in mind here. And I say by default, plan for war, not peace. And if we're wrong, great, we welcome peace. But there's a lot of powerful people who would lose big profits if peace breaks out across Europe. And there's a lot of politicians that lead European countries that would be extremely unhappy with peace. They want war, and they're going to do everything they can to get it. They're going to sabotage like crazy. You can bet MI6 is plotting false flag operations right now. They're trying to figure out how to have an outbreak of war. So watch for that. Stay informed. If you need any backup food supplies or other nutrition, shop at our store, healthrangerstore.com. We've also got iodine in stock, which is very useful following a, you know, a nuclear war or a radiological scenario. So be sure to stock up on iodine, which will also make a really great barter item because everybody will be desperate to get it if, you know, if mushroom clouds start going off. Let's pray that doesn't happen, but be prepared just in case it does. And thank you for supporting us, healthrangerstore.com, so we can continue our mission for peace and health and abundance and decentralization so that people can take back their power from centralized control. Thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.